at 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. By a 2-1 margin, Texas voters say the country is going in the wrong direction. That's according to a new poll by the Texas Tribune and the University of Texas. 29% of those polled say the United States is on the right track, while 61% say it's going in the wrong direction. There were more positive feelings about the state. 43% of respondents say Texas is on the right track. Fort Worth is growing fast, and while all that growth is exciting, it comes with challenges the city must meet. KERA's Christopher Conley sat down with Eric Gossin to talk about the state of Fort Worth.
Chris, you went to a Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce event to hear the city manager, David Cook, and he gave a presentation on how the city's doing. What did he have to say about the city's growth?
Cook says the city adds about 20 to 25,000 people each year, which is a lot of people. It puts Fort Worth on track to become the 14th largest city in the country by next year, skipping ahead of Columbus and Indianapolis. That's if current trends hold. By 2019, so 2 years from now, Fort Worth is set to be the 12th largest city in the country, bigger than cities like Jacksonville, Florida, or San Francisco.
Truly a boomtown. So many see growth as a good thing for cities. But what's the downside? There have to be some challenges.
All those new people are paying into the tax base and shopping at local businesses. But Cook says there's three big questions to ask.
Where are they going to live? Where are they going to work? And how are we going to get around?
Some data points he brought up. Fort Worth has the most ready-to-develop land in North Texas. That means there are places to build homes and businesses, and that's an asset. At the same time, there's a worrying trend. Household growth has been outpacing job growth. So basically, the city's adding people faster than it's adding new jobs, which means more and more Fort Worth residents have to drive out of the city limits to get to work. And that's not a new trend. Cook says they've been seeing this over the last 10, 15 years. The city has been working on an economic development plan that it's getting ready to unveil soon, and the goal is to grow more jobs within city limits.
Now, back to what city manager David Cook said, how are all those new residents going to get around? What did he say about transportation efforts?
Right. So he says public transit is part of the answer. The city lags behind other big Texas cities in investing in public transit. Still, Cook points to the Texrail train that'll go from downtown to DFW International Airport as evidence of investment. But public transit isn't the only infrastructure issue that comes with a fast-growing population, and that's why the city is going to hold its biggest ever bond election in May. Basically, the city's asking residents if it can borrow nearly $400 million to pay for things like roads and bridges and libraries and police and fire stations, parks, senior centers, all those things that residents rely on and use.
And parks and senior centers sound great, but what about the city's public employee pension fund? Fort Worth has been struggling to get the fund under control over the years. How's it doing?
Not great, really. It could be worse, but Cook says the city is going to try to craft a plan to tackle the billion-plus shortfall in the pension fund over the next year. The city has tried to get it into shape over the years, but it's faced major setbacks in terms of investments not returning at the rates officials expected. And then there's this, which Cook doesn't like.
The city has been downgraded twice in the last 2 years by rating agencies, based on the pension system alone, right? So it is something we have to tackle. It's not going to be easy, but it's something you'll be hearing about in 2018.
Cook says that fixing the plan is important, but he predicted that it'll also be a painful and rancorous process.
Christopher Connolly covers Fort Worth for KERA. Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Happy to do it.
On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, why agencies are rejecting a one-size-fits-all approach to solving homelessness. The Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance has set a goal to cut the Dallas area population of chronic, veteran, and elderly homelessness in half by next summer. Dennis Culhane from the University of Pennsylvania specializes in the modern homelessness crisis. He tells Courtney Collins that when it comes to securing housing, seniors have unique challenges.
Dennis Culhane, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
What is the starkest difference between being homeless in your, say, 20s and being homeless in your 70s?
Well, older adults obviously have a lot of needs, many of them having to do with the activities of daily living and being mobile and getting around, which are compromised by their aging. But it's important to note that aging in the homeless population is accelerated. They have a life expectancy of only about 65 years. So what we're seeing today emerging on the streets is a group with lots of functional limitations, lots of health problems, but they're between 55 and 65. They only look like they're in their 60s and 70s health-wise.
What's the biggest threat to low-income seniors who may own their home outright now but don't have a lot of savings or family support?
People who lose their housing and who end up homeless, oftentimes a major part of that is that there's some family support that has disappeared. And in this case, part of it is that the aging parents, so people who are in their 70s, 80s and dying, are leaving behind people in their 50s who are also accelerated in their aging, and they may be losing housing with their parents passing. And that's part of what we're seeing is that a group of this people who are homeless in their 50s actually have recently lost their own parents.
How do you work to prevent elderly homelessness? We read a lot about homelessness and prevention. How do you do that?
Well, it starts with having some good feelers out into the community, letting people know that if they're in distress, they can come in and get some advice. Housing advice is relatively cheap, but it's really important for people who don't necessarily understand all the different components of what could go wrong or what is going wrong. In addition, we realize that relatively small amounts of money can help people stave off a serious problem. So having some kind of emergency cash assistance program that can help with pressing utility bills or restoring utilities that have been shut off, that kind of assistance is actually quite crucial in helping people to fend off losing their housing.
What are the dangers of addressing homelessness as kind of a first-come, first-served problem?
First of all, there's an accumulation of people in homelessness. That's one of the key issues, is that there's a cadre of folks who experience long-term homelessness and who are out there for quite significant periods of time. And it's not really easy to prioritize one over the other. There's just a significant backlog of people who need assistance. And then there's all of these people who come in for relatively brief periods of time, but who are constantly cycling in and out, and they need a different intervention. So it's important that we actually think that we have two different populations and we need a different intervention for each.
What is the one thing that you think the typical person needs to understand about the homeless population?
The homeless population is aging. Since the mid-1980s, since we've been keeping track of this problem, the bulk of the adult homeless population is a group born between 1955 and 1965. Their average age in 1990 was 30. Their average age in 2020 is going to be 60. Their life expectancy is 65. So this large cohort of people who have been part of the homeless population since the mid-80s is now coming to the end of their life. And it's going to exact a significant impact on the homelessness assistance programs, which are not equipped to deal with aging issues. And so folks, if we don't intervene, if we don't find housing that's appropriate for them, these folks are going to end up hospitalized unnecessarily, staying long in the hospital unnecessarily, and ending up in nursing homes when they needn't be there.
Dennis Culhane with the School of Social Policy and Practice at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The public radio program, The Takeaway, is broadcasting from the KERA studios this week. Today's program featured the Dallas School District's efforts to help low-income and homeless students and a Dallas Police Senior Corporal talking about police life. Catch up at thetakeaway.org and tune in tomorrow morning for more Texas topics. The Takeaway airs at 11 a.m. here on KERA 90.1. And for the evening, mostly clear skies, should be a cool low around 45 tomorrow. Sunny, a high in the upper 70s. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.